Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to begin a study on the book of 1 Thessalonians. But before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this privilege and honor to open up your very inerrant, inspired, infallible words as we find it in the King James Bible. Father, we're grateful to have your words today, and as we study them, we pray to be led of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that I would teach and preach only those things that you would have me to say. I pray I'd be a vessel in thy hands, filled with your Holy Spirit, to be used for your honor and for your glory. And Father, we pray for the listeners today, for the saints of God that already know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they would be edified and lifted up in the things of thee this day, dear Lord. And we pray for the lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day that they realize they're lost and on their way to hell. But if they'll place simple faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else, to have their sins forgiven, and know when they die, they're going to heaven. We pray if there's someone today that doesn't know Jesus Christ personally in their hearts, that they would this very day. Father, we commit this time into thy hand, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, so let's begin our study today in the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, first of all, is a little bit of an introduction before we begin with chapter 1, verse 1. The book of 1 Thessalonians contains 5 chapters, 89 verses, and 1,857 words. Now, the book was written around 49 A.D., by the Apostle Paul himself, to the saved Christians in Thessalonica. The city of Thessalonica is located in Greece, and the word itself means hot springs. In fact, Paul's first encounter with the Thessalonians is found in Acts chapter 17. It is in this chapter that we learn that Paul was accompanied by Silas and Timotheus. Upon his arrival in Thessalonica, he went to the synagogue there first and reasoned with the Jews out of the scriptures for 3 Sabbath days. This made the Jews angry, and they stirred up a crowd against Paul and caused an uproar. However, before Paul was forced to leave, there were many saved. We are also informed that the Thessalonians weren't the best of Bible students, because after Paul left, they went to Berea and found people who searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were so, Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Now, the book of 1 Thessalonians is the first epistle written by the Apostle Paul in his ministry. It's a good book for new converts to study, as it is full of doctrine. It starts with salvation and ends with the rapture. The book also contains no Old Testament references, and I believe that it encourages the Christian to look for Jesus' return. So let's begin our study, our commentary on the book of 1 Thessalonians. So let's turn to chapter 1, verse number 1. As we begin, Paul in Silvanus, in Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the opening of his letter, we find Paul has two other men, Silvanus and Timotheus. Silvanus would be Silas, who accompanied Paul in Acts chapters 15 through 18. We also find him mentioned in 2 Corinthians 1:19 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. So let's see. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Again, we read the names. We see Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. So we see that both Silvanus or Silas and Timotheus are mentioned here again in the second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1. I also said that Silas or Silvanus is mentioned in 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 19. So let's turn there together, if you would. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse number 19. We read, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me in and Silvanus and Timotheus." So again, we see Silvanus or Silas and Timothy mentioned here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, being with the Apostle Paul. We also find Silvanus or Silas. We find him later with the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. We read, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand." Now, Timotheus is unmistakably Timothy. We see the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, we'll look there in just a moment, that Paul found Timothy in Lystra and circumcised him for testimony's sake, because we'll see he was Timothy was half Jew and half Greek or Gentile. So let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Where we find that Paul comes upon Timothy here. Acts chapter 16, and verses 1 to 3. Then came he to Derbe in Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess. So we see that Timothy's mother was Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him, referring to Timothy here, would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. We see that it must have been Paul that used his Jewish heritage to his advantage in the preaching to the Jews in their temples. because we read in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." So we see, thus, he must have had to circumcise Timothy as well, so that he could accompany him when he preached in their synagogues. Now, in Acts chapter 17, verse 14, we find Timothy, and Silas together in Thessalonica, where they undoubtedly continued preaching and teaching until Paul called them to Athens in chapter 17 of Acts, verse 15. So let's look at Acts chapter 17, verses 14 and 15. "And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed." From then on, Timothy seems to be an errand boy or a stand-in preacher for Paul, as he is continually sending him places to preach. And let's look at some references that show us that Paul has sent Timothy places to preach, amen? First, in Acts chapter 18, verse 5, we read, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." So we see then both Silas and Timotheus, came to be where Paul was from Macedonia. They had been preaching, both Silas and Timothy, there in Macedonia. Look at in Acts chapter 19, verse 22. "So he went into Macedonia, 2 of them that minister unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season." So again, we see Timothy being sent out to by Paul to Macedonia to preach. And then in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, "And there accompanied him into Asia Sophater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Artiticus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus, and of Asia Titicus and Trifemus," or Trifopius, miss, amen. So we see again that he's being sent out to Asia by Paul to preach. Then again, we see him mentioned in Romans chapter 16, verse 21. Romans chapter 16, verse number 21. We read, "Timotheus, my fellow, my work fellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sopater, my kinsmen, salute you." And again, here is Paul mentioning them to the Romans. And let me give you some other references where we see Timothy's mentioned, where Paul has sent him somewhere to preach. And you can look up these rest of these references on your own as for a study here in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. An interesting note is that Timothy is the only man in the New Testament called a man of God. Let me show that to you. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Timothy 6, 11. We're going to see he's called a man of God. And of course, this is Paul's first epistle to Timothy. And he's writing to Timothy in verse 11 of 1 Timothy 6. Paul writes, "But thou, O man of God." See that? Paul calls Timothy a man of God, and he gives him some instructions. He says, "Flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Now, Paul continues, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul continues by addressing his letter, as we see in verse 1 here of chapter 1, to the church of Thessalonians. Now, this is very important, and the reason for that is this. There's a group today that call themselves the Church of Christ. They're better known as Campbellites or water dogs, amen, because they believe that water baptism saves an individual. Where they get this name, they call themselves the Church of Christ, they get it from Romans chapter 16, verse 16. So let's turn there. Romans chapter 16, verse 16. And we read, "Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." But notice what the verse says. It says, "churches of Christ," plural. Not Church of Christ, singular. So they teach, the Church of Christ teaches that they are the only one true church, and all others are invalid as their church is the only one Christ founded. So Paul is not writing to a denomination. He is writing to the saved people in Thessalonica. Many people nowadays think that the church is nothing but a building or a meeting house. But according to the Bible, the church is the people who are born again. So Paul is writing his epistle to the church, all the saved people in Thessalonica, and not just to some fanatical denomination. This also helps to explain how God preserved his word for us today. There might have been 4,000 people saved in Thessalonica, but they were all coming to, but they weren't all coming together in one place. They were meeting in different houses. Each group would copy Paul's letter to take it to another group. Thus, many copies of Paul's letters were made. They then were sent to other areas as well, so that everyone could read what Paul wrote. You see, God used these copies of copies to preserve his word for us today. Continuing in verse 1, chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians, we find Paul saying, now notice, "Unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, once a person accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior by faith, Christ is in him. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. See, the nice thing about when you study a book of the Bible, you see, you touch upon a lot of the doctrines, amen, Bible doctrines, amen. So let's see, Ephesians chapter 3 with me, in verse number 17, Ephesians 3, 17. Notice what Paul writes here, that Christ may dwell where? May dwell in your hearts. How? By faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. Not only that, but the believer is in Jesus Christ. So we see, not only is Christ in the believer, but the believer is in Christ. And let me give you some verses to show you that. First in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we see the believer is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ. We see that time and time and time again. The believer, not only is Christ in the believer, but the believer is in Christ. See? Look at 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Then look in Ephesians with me, chapter 2, in verse number 13. But here we go. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then we see the same thing in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. And these are just a few verses to show that not only is Christ in the believer, but the believer is in Christ. And then we also want to see that Jesus Christ is in God the Father. Looking in the Gospel of John with me. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. We read, Jesus is speaking and he says, Believeth thou not that I am in the Father? In the Father and me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth, here it is, in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So, if a Christian is in Christ, he is in God the Father. Turn to the book of 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse number 24. We read, Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue, here it is, in the Son and in the Father. So not only are you in the Father, but God is in you too, as a believer. Look at in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. 1 John 4, verse number 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth where? In him, and he in God. Now this is one of Paul's seven mysteries in the Bible. Paul talks about seven mysteries, and this is one of them. The mystery of the indwelling of Christ. Now let us see what the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians with me. Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. We read Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So a Christian then has the most wonderful gift of all. Not only is he saved from hell, forgiven of all his sins, and given eternal life, but also has Jesus Christ, God, living inside of him. What a blessing, amen. What a blessing. Now, in the end of this verse, again, we're referring to verse number 1 of chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. We see it in the end of the verse, Paul wishes them peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, we have peace already with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious shed blood, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. So this peace must not mean judicial peace, in which God no longer holds his wrath upon a sinner, as we see in John, Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 36. This must refer to a daily peace and knowing that you are saved and living right, Romans chapter 2, verse 10, and joyful of your salvation, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Let me give you some verses quickly, some other references that you can look up on your own, where Paul says the same thing. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. And if you use a Bible concordance, I'm sure that you can find others where we see that Paul is talking about that we have the peace of God in our lives because we're saved. Amen. Well, that concludes our study today on 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to be continuing to study the book of 1 Thessalonians in the weeks to come. So this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.